Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great, because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks serving our community. Today we have with us Mike Johnson from Ollie Cap's Homeless Shelter and Housing Programs. He represents the manager of the shelter programs through Ollie Cap, and most often I hear of your name associated with the American Legion Hall. Thank you for being here, Mike.
Thank you.
Did I get that right?
Yes, I am the manager of the Jefferson County Shelter.
Jefferson County Shelter. And you brought with you today Skip?
Skip Cataract.
And Skip, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
You're a part of the organization as well, and as often we find in Port Townsend, it's a big web. Mm-hmm. So Ollie Cap is the overarching organization that, Mike, you work for.
Correct.
And you serve in the role of, help our listeners understand what you do at Ollie Cap.
In the capacity of the shelter, I manage the shelter. I help work with the community to figure out what the community feels is most necessary for shelter and the people in the community.
Now, Ollie Cap represents many shelters, but today we're really going to target the Legion Hall itself. Yep. It's the American Legion Post?
American Legion Post 26.
Post 26. And Skip, what is your relationship to this organization? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm here essentially as a representative for the organization called COAST. That's Community Outreach Association and Shelter Team. And this is the volunteer piece that makes the Jefferson County Shelter function. Mike does coordination and oversight, and then we gather up volunteers to come in and do things like prepare meals, to be volunteer monitors, to help provide some safety and oversight, and to make a number of decisions about what we need to provide, whether it's blankets or whatever, for the operation of the shelter.
So. Now, I understand that the American Legion is just one of many, which is in our downtown region, and COAST had something to do with the inception of that particular location?
In a sense, COAST, a number of dedicated women from the area decided that there was a homelessness issue in Port Townsend that needed to be dealt with. And so they gathered together pastors, they gathered together community leaders who were interested in trying to fix the situation. So there was a beginning of a shelter as a few churches opened their doors and homeless guests were allowed to come and sleep there at night and then were vanned out to wherever they needed to be one way or another, back and forth. And then that shifted after a while. That became difficult. It was a challenge for church buildings to be shifted back and forth in that. And suddenly the American Legion arose as a potential option and their basement became the next place for the, at that time, the Jefferson County Winter Shelter. And that's how the American Legion got involved. So they are a full partner along with COAST and along with Ollie Cap.
And Mike, so how long has this shelter been located at the American Legion Post?
This is the 15th season of the shelter, but the 14th season at the Legion.
Going a little further out, higher up, if you will, we have homelessness as an issue and we have affordability as a concern in this community. Can you tell us a little bit about the numbers you see coming through your doors and who are the folks that come to the American Legion?
When I came on 5 years ago, the numbers weren't as great and it was more local. Mm-hmm. We were filling an average. We have a 33-bed facility now. Back when I came on in 2014, we were running an average of 20 a night.
Okay.
And the average age was about 37. We just finished a year cycle. We are now averaging 31 a night, and the average age is 53.
My goodness. Now, when you have these guests come through your door, what is the process like? You know, how do you get to know their ages, for example? And do they have to be a veteran? My impression was folks had to be veterans at your location.
Well, veterans are certainly a priority, as are senior citizens, those with disabilities that might not be able to survive outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our focuses is specifically because the Legion is a sponsor, we want to support the veterans that...
Oh, that makes sense. Yes.
So anybody over the age of 18 is eligible to be in the shelter. The numbers that we're talking about, we're talking an average of 30 to 31 a night, which is pretty near capacity. We can do 33 a night.
And do you have an idea how many people are left outside that you know, what is the shortage of shelter within the downtown community? I know you've got outlying shelter options, but those seem to be a little more long term. These are your first gateway homeless.
So the best information I have is last year, according to the point in time count, there were 53 families that were living in the community that were living in their cars or places that were unsuitable for habitation.
And what is point in time count? Tell me a little bit about that.
That is an initiative that's run through the Department of Commerce.
Okay.
And it is specifically one day, I think this year it's January 30th, where volunteers get together and they canvass the entire area. Everything from the library to McDonald's to the parks to community centers to the shelter. And they just gather information to figure out who's homeless, who's in the community, what their needs are, and how we can best help.
Wow, that has got to be very informative in terms of providing additional shelter options, if you will. And I know you've got a range of services through OLECAP for housing, from, you know, early recovery to women and you know, that have children, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But at the Legion, American Legion, you typically would someone over the age of 18 with a child, what would happen if someone walked through your door downtown there? What are the kind of options they have?
We would work with them outside of the shelter, perhaps put them in a hotel for a couple of nights.
Oh, I see.
While we work on a more permanent solution.
So when folks come through to the American Legion, are you also then kind of vetting out or providing complimentary services, you know, being a guide, if you will, to those additional services that might be those things that they really need to get them on their way to having shelter?
Absolutely. Not only do we provide for their immediate needs, but we work with them to, we give them a list of places that provide food, that provide potential shelter. Perhaps they're just, their car's broken down and they need financial assistance. Mm-hmm. OLECAP can do that. We work with other agencies that can help with that.
So this is 24/7 in the Legion, right downtown. Someone's walked in. Can someone stay there during the day? Is it a place that they find respite for just staying warm during the day?
Currently, that's not the case. We open the doors at 4 o'clock.
I see.
And then they can stay from then on through the night until 8 in the morning. I can tell you during the coldest times, there is another organization that's providing a warming center. It's a welcoming center. And that's through a couple of different churches.
And is that part of that list? So, you know, in the 8 in the morning, some of the okay guys and gals, there are women at the shelter as well?
There are. Right now, there are 11 women at the shelter.
My word. And out of 33, so you're almost running about, I don't know, 40% women?
35 to 40%.
Wow. Hey, listen, if you're just checking in with KPTZ, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We're talking with Mike Johnson of the American Legion Post. He's the manager of the Winter Shelter, and he has Skip Catterett here from Coast. And this is a really compelling need. We're hitting the cold season, and it's an incredible need that we have. And we have probably, what, another 30, 40% that aren't being able to be served through your shelter, as you mentioned earlier, with the point in time count. So I was asking you to walk me through what that looks like. They come in 4 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. You have on your website, you're providing meals. But Skip, in talking to you, you mentioned that you provide some of the volunteer resources for Mike. And there's some seasonality to the robustness of the numbers of folks that come alongside and the things that you do. Can you talk about that a little
bit? Sure. That's right. The original operation was envisioned as purely a winter operation, mostly because of the limitations of people and finances and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But we still, when it comes to wintertime, somewhere in mid-October all the way through mid-April, so that's a long winter season, Coast works to provide three meals a day, So that's a, let's call it a continental breakfast, although sometimes there's a full breakfast, continental breakfast, a sack lunch, and a hearty dinner for everybody there. So the way that happens is churches, faith communities, business organizations basically pick up a week of service as hospitality, being a hospitality group for the shelter. And so they take on that week and they make the meals and serve them. And that's a place where there's always a need for assistance.
I always love being able to promote the opportunity for people to get their toes wet in an in giving and serving. And sounds like at least between October and April, one could just make sack lunches. And so, you know, going back to you, Mike, you're saying they leave in the morning. So do they leave with one of those lunches right now?
They leave in the, they leave every morning with a lunch.
After they've had breakfast.
After they've had a breakfast.
And so, Mike, how do you organize this recruitment of partnerships? Do you recruit, you mentioned businesses, but also faith-based organizations. How would we whet the appetite for people listening now to be one of those hosts?
Well, the name that I would give to connect with, this is the person I always send people to first, would be Karen Real. Karen Real is the treasurer of the Coast organization. And if you like, I can give you a phone number for her. That would be a contact. It is 360-796-0420. I'll say it again because that's the radio thing to do. 360-796-0420. Or you could also reach her at KarenReal5@gmail.com. And Karen would love to hear from you. I know we have a couple of weeks in April that we have no hospitality group attached to at this point in time. And we sure would like to fill those up.
Well, I know in talking to organizations, one of the things that has always struck me is the creative ways that you can give people the opportunity to give back. And I think of if you're celebrating a family reunion or you're wanting to recognize some kind of birthday, what a great thing to do for, 7 days in a row, kids, we're going to make lunches for this.
Go.
You know, you can do something like
Absolutely.
That. So, Mike, as I think about the more hands-on part of serving those folks that come in the evening and sleep through the night, You have volunteer needs there as well, but does it take a particular kind of training? Are you involved in any of that component? There's someone who receives them, welcomes them in. Mm-hmm. Are there volunteers that do that?
There are volunteers that for every shift, there's a volunteer and a paid staff person. So a volunteer is never alone. Mm-hmm. So any concerns that they might have are alleviated through that.
What are the best characteristics of a volunteer who might be thriving in that kind of environment?
Just being able to listen.
Okay.
A lot of these guys and girls want to talk, but it becomes difficult at times. You've got to be able to just let them get there on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
So patience and a listening ear.
Absolutely.
And so is Coast also the organization that would feed the volunteers into your shelter? And what do you call that component of volunteering on the site? Not the hospitality side or hosting or creating a food, but
we would
monitor?
Refer, well, you want it or do you want me?
mostly the administration side, but Coast does handle the volunteers.
The whole piece.
Straight across.
The whole piece.
So when a hospitality group comes along to provide meals, they also generally are providing monitors to be there as well. So we have volunteer monitors alongside the staff monitors, which, by the way, I'll take this opportunity to say, Mike's staff are absolutely incredible. And
I
love working with them. So,
No, the reason why this show came to my mind is I happened to cross another Mike that's in your organization. And I just finished volunteering for a large fundraiser. And I said, why don't we take it over to the Legion? There some folks went, what? And I said, no, I think we can. I'll just run over. And I ran over and he said, well, heck yeah. And it was pastries and yummies and what have you. And I walked through the door and I heard this quiet snoring. It was like, I felt like I'd gone back to a grown-up toddler preschool nap time. Mm-hmm. It was so sweet. And I have had the occasion to have a relationship with someone who's in transition and homeless. And she has touched my heart in a way that I still have a connection with. And I didn't know until speaking with her that you had showers and you had women there. So folks can come in, they can get a good night's rest. Is there a limit to how many nights they can stay there?
Department of Commerce says 90 nights, but they need to be working toward self-sufficiency. That's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm.
And do they come back? Do you say 9 nights or 90?
90.
So they hit 89 and your front desk monitor or your staff says, hey, how's it going? Have you connected with XYZ or how is that? How is that?
We actually managed? Work with them way before that. From the day that they come in.
Okay.
They know that our goal is to get them into self-sufficiency. And that doesn't always look the same for everybody.
Sure.
It's not always getting into a house. Sometimes it's just getting back home to family.
Sometimes it's just a few dollars to get that car fixed because they were on their way to somewhere else. We have such a short time on this program and it kills me. So, Mike, what are some of the things that you want our listeners to understand that's maybe a misperception? And two, how can we come alongside you? What are your needs right now that we really want to target?
The biggest needs that I know of are for both the people in the shelter and the people that aren't able to stay. For people who aren't able to stay, the idea that we can provide tents and sleeping bags for the people who, for whatever reason, even if it's capacity, can't be in the shelter or are unable, those are great. For people in the shelter, washable blankets, toiletries. If you go on vacation, bring anything.
All the hotel. You've got it.
Shampoo, cream rinse.
Okay.
Toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant.
And blankets, a specific type of blanket, anything like that?
Washable blanket.
We prefer size?
Twins and queens.
Okay. And the distribution process, would that also be through Coast?
The distribution would come through...
If we wanted to bring it to you, we wouldn't walk through to the Legion, would we?
Right. You would bring it to either Ole Cap office, which is located behind Goodwill, or you can bring it in after 4 o'clock and we'll gratefully take it.
Okay. How about an address for Ole Cap?
Ole Cap is 823 Commerce Loop.
Okay.
Address of the Legion is 209 Monroe Street and we're in the basement.
And if someone was really pulled by what you said today, do you have an email that they might converse with you privately or more directly on other ideas or needs?
Absolutely. mjohnson@olecap.org.
Mike, such a great joy to meet you today. And Skip, wow, great radio voice. Thank you for joining us today. I know who to call when I can't do this program. Thank you for coming in, and thank you for what you do for those folks that are on the outreaches of our community that are truly part of our community.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you
very much. Nice to meet you both. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne. I'd like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, drop off a blanket or a tent, and make it a great day.